Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor here at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on in week two. We're looking at this parable of the unmerciful servant. And you know, we were focusing, it's in Matthew 18, and we were focusing on kind of the aspect of hypocrisy, in spiritual hypocrisy in the parable where the servant is forgiven this insurmountable, massive debt by the king. And yet he then goes and demands a much smaller payment from his fellow servant, who says basically the same thing, to have mercy on me. And he fails to do for him what the king has done, you know, for him. And so I want to read to you, it may not make sense at first, but just stick with me. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 18, it says, this is God speaking to the people of Israel. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before me. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Now, what does that have to do with the parable of the unmerciful servant? The connection here is, you know, the idea of spiritual hypocrisy. God has come to the people of Israel, and part of the reason he's saying these things to them is he's saying, guys, you're coming before me doing all of the religious stuff. That's the kind of the irony of this, is these are things that God said to do, keeping the Sabbath and bringing the sacrifices. But he says, your hearts are not in it. These are going through the motions because, and you say, well, what's the evidence of that? Because of the way they're living their lives. He says, you're doing these things, but you're not acting justly. You're not helping the poor. You're not doing good and correcting oppression or bringing justice to the fatherless or pleading the widow's cause. Those are all things that if you truly loved me and understood my love for you, you would be doing those things. Why? Because God has come alongside of Israel and been a father to them. They were orphans and he brought them in. He has shown kindness to them and incredible generosity and grace. They should be gracious then to others, and instead they're acting selfishly and wickedly, and yet then coming and saying, okay, now let's go worship God. And this is really important. It's the same thing that's going on, or similar thing that's going on in the parable, where Jesus is pointing out the hypocrisy of, you know, this man who's had all his debt forgiven, which was massive, and he'd never be able to pay it back. And then he goes and he won't forgive the debt of his fellow servant. And Jesus' point is, he says, you know, so will your heavenly father, right? This man gets put in prison at the end. And he says, so your heavenly father will do to you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. And Jesus is pointing out the hypocrisy of being forgiven by God like this and then refusing to forgive others. And so I want to make sure I say this clearly, though. The point of the parable, the point of Isaiah chapter 1 is not, hey, you're a Christian, go do better. You know, you need to go earn, you'll get forgiveness from God if you forgive others, or you'll get God's love if you go do better. That's not the point. Here at the end of Isaiah, God says your sins are going to be like scarlet. They'll should be white as snow. How does that ultimately happen? How is it that our sins are truly forgiven? Is it by us going and doing better? No, we know what the Bible's answer to that. We know that the whole Old Testament is pointing forward to this person who would one day come, who would take our iniquities and be crushed for us. Later on in Isaiah, he's the one who says that in Isaiah 53, for he was crushed for our iniquities. By his wounds we are healed. Jesus comes and does for us what we could not do for ourselves. And the result of having a relationship with Jesus, the result of loving God and being loved by Him, is that it changes us. God's Spirit changes us. The gospel changes us. And so we go out and we begin to, okay, I want to act more like the Lord. The Lord begins to change our character, and it expresses itself in being obedient to Him, pleading the widow's cause, bringing justice to the fatherless, helping the poor, loving God and loving others genuinely. But the forgiveness flows from the parable, right? We forgive others when we recognize how we've been forgiven. We begin to act justly and mercifully when we have a relationship with our merciful God. And so, yes, we are called to examine ourselves. If we look at our lives and we are not acting in Christ-like ways, the goal is not to say, oh man, I just need to do better and maybe I'll earn something from God. It's to say, no, Lord, I need to apply the gospel in this area. If I'm not acting in any way, shape, or form in a Christ-like way, and that's been continued in a pattern, I mean, I need to ask myself, do I have a relationship with Jesus, and start there? But if it's, man, I'm just not applying the gospel in these areas of my life, then the way forward is repentance, right? Come, let us reason together, the Lord says, to bring that before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And Jesus, I want to apply and remember the gospel here. I want to remember that You have loved me so much, and You have shown me incredible kindness. I want that to flow out of me towards those around me. I don't want to be spiritually hypocritical, receiving the kindness of God and then not giving it to others. Let me pray for you, and then I'll encourage you to take some time to reflect and pray for yourself. Father, will You give us the grace to see any areas of spiritual hypocrisy in us where we are saying one thing but doing another? Lord, receiving Your grace and Your mercy and Your kindness, but failing to give it to others. God, will You show us that? And will You transform our hearts and change us from the inside out and help us to be obedient to You? Lord, we love You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take some time now to think and to pray for yourself.